This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here is my colleague from the Tribune political team, Kim Geiger, as we go over Governor Rauner's proposed budget, as well as the fact of the lingering effects of still not having a budget for the current budget year, 8 months in. And joining me now on the phone is Dave Treader. Dave is president of the Federation of Independent Illinois Colleges and Universities and also a leader in the relatively new Illinois Coalition to Invest in Higher Education. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
What is the Illinois Coalition to Invest in Higher Education, particularly like right now we're not investing anything in higher education as far as the state goes?
Well, true, and that's why it exists. The coalition is a partnership of public, private, and community colleges and local business leaders, members of labor, faculty members, kind of a cross-section of higher ed that I think we're trying to, if nothing else, continually get the word out that this is a problem that's got to be solved.
I was speaking to a couple of folks from the University of Illinois the other day, and you know, I think about this time of year. This is when students are, you know, looking at where they're going to go to school, high school students, where they're looking to go to college. And I have to tell you, if I were in those shoes, I'd be looking out of state.
Well, I think that's happening, and you're starting to see two things. Certainly, as it pertains to the MAP grants, that's another piece of this. You're finding students either aren't going to attend at all, or those that can are looking at options out of state.
And, of course, out of state tends to be a more expensive option, but there's the fact of having certainty. And we just had on Friday Governor Rauner following through on his vow to veto a measure that the legislature, Democratic-controlled legislature, passed that would free up $721 million for community colleges and those MAP grants. And I want to play this cut of Governor Rauner talking about MAP grants.
It's a very tragic situation. It's very upsetting to me. It's a failure of the government process that this is occurring. I would encourage the students to stay and see if they can be patient and persistent along with us. But I'd also encourage the students, contact the legislature, contact whoever their state representative is, their state senator is, contact the speaker's office, and support either one of the two paths that we laid forward so we can fund our universities and fund our MAP grants. Either encourage the legislature to work with our administration to get some reforms so we can grow more jobs and pay for our budgets, or authorize me to be able to cut and move expenses around, and I'll find the money to help pay for most of what's needed in MAP grants and universities. But one of those two scenarios needs to happen.
So be patient. Be persistent. Be patient. I have to think, for a number of your member schools, patience is wearing thin, let alone students' patience.
Well, certainly. Students have been both patient and persistent, and in fact have been contacting their state legislators on both sides of the aisle to make the point. And I think the governor there just said that this is essentially a government not working or just dysfunctional, and we totally agree. And you know, patient is relative here. We're 8 months into a fiscal year without any state budget, and we're probably about 6.5 months, 7 months further than the state's ever been overall. So certainly these students are running out of options. The institutions, both public and private, I think have carried essentially the commitment, I would argue, about as far as they can. And you're starting to see that now evidenced in dropping enrollment numbers.
What for your member institutions? What's the kind of price value of the not having these MAP grants?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. Certainly, I mean, remember, MAP grants go to the absolute.
Yeah,
median.
And I was going to say, yeah, let's explain what these MAP grants are.
Sure, they're the neediest students in the state. You're looking at depending on where they go, an average family income of less than than 28,000. So available to students at community colleges, public fours, private not-for-profit institutions, a few for-profits. We would argue, a really good use of government funds wherever that student chooses to go, because it's leveraging what the student brings, what they pay in tuition, loan dollars. There's probably not too many programs in the state that are this efficient, but essentially what it means for a student who, remember where we're at in the process here, we're essentially told you're getting this 8 months ago, and then the rug kind of gets pulled out. It's one important piece of that package, those variables I just mentioned. And if you pull one of those variables out, the numbers just don't add up.
I mean, it becomes a house of cards, basically. But, I mean, certainly when it comes to these schools that have been kind of front-loading these costs, I mean, some schools have, you know, larger endowments or have that wherewithal to be able to do it. But the toll that's got to be taking is got to be immense financially.
Well, I think it is, and I always try to be student-focused. Can you imagine the pressure on the student who's working, taking out loans, attending classes, studying, and this is all over their head for the last 8 months? How am I going to continue on here? And for the institution, this is the business of higher ed. It's not a side business where we can make it up somewhere else. I mean, if these students don't show up, it's a wicked combination that's going on here.
So, I mean, what are you hearing when you talk to legislators?
Well, it depends on what side of the aisle. Certainly, some legislators are saying we need to pass this, and you saw that with the bill that went to the governor's desk and was vetoed. And I think the governor and maybe that side of the aisle believes that the money's not there. We have to come up with a different solution. But I think one thing that's clear, if you look at the last two budgets that are proposed, they're pretty devastating to higher education. So I'll let others choose where they want to point the blame. But clearly higher ed's not a priority. It wasn't even mentioned in the recent budget address last week. So that gives everyone in higher education some grave concern, especially when we've got our elected folks out saying we need to attract businesses and create jobs. And I can guarantee you that's not going to happen if you crater the higher education system here in the state.
Dave, I want to talk more about that the governor's proposed budget, as well as kind of what this whole kind of atmospherics has been for higher education institutions. We're going to take a quick break, though. We're speaking with Dave Trotter, president of the Federation of Independent Illinois Colleges and Universities and a member of the Illinois Coalition to Invest in Higher Education. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson, and this is your Sunday Spin. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Kim Geiger from the Tribune's political team. And on the phone is Dave Trotter, president of the Federation of Independent Illinois Colleges and Universities, and also a member of the Illinois Coalition to Invest in Higher Education. We're talking about Governor Rauner's budget message last week. And Dave, you kind of touched on this before we went to break about, I guess, a reflection of the governor's priorities and beliefs when it comes to higher education, and the fact that, at least as I saw it in the budget book, as far as the public universities, we're looking at cuts from anywhere from 25% to 30% from the public institutions. But it seems pretty clear, frankly, even from his first budget address, that he thinks higher education's a bloated commodity.
Well, certainly. And he said that a number of times, more so in the first budget address. And I think you have to look at there's a lot of talk about that within higher education overall. And I think it's an appropriate discussion to have. We ought to be looking at the value of the return on our investment from the state. And I think that's a piece that gets left out a lot as to, you know, the benefit of higher ed. We spend a lot of time talking about what it means to the individual that gets a degree, the additional income they'll make. But I think maybe we haven't done a good enough job of laying out what it means in terms of state competitiveness, look, one way to look at it is right now we've got about 800,000 students in public, private, community colleges around the state. The institutions they attend employ about 175,000 people all over the state. I mean, I'm downstate here. Look in communities like Jacksonville and Champaign and Carbondale and Quincy, let alone the Loop of Chicago, a huge economic driver. So I think if you pull back a little bit and look at the benefit and then realize college-educated folks, not only do they make more, but they contribute a lot more. And if you want to increase your tax base, frankly, to be pragmatic, you want people to earn more, have better jobs, be less reliant on the social service system. It's kind of a no-brainer. So I think we need to start talking about really the benefit side. And if you're going to have a real analysis, you have to look at the cost and the benefits.
Kim?
Well, I was actually wondering what you were thinking about this proposal from the governor. It's just a proposal, but this idea of putting some money into this more performance-based pot and asking higher education institutions to sort of prove their worth?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. It's not a new idea. It's been around, tried in some other states. I think, frankly, the public universities have embraced that model, and there ought to be competition for resources. So, I think that's part of that discussion that needs to take place. But let me also say that if you're going to have a discussion about efficiency and competitiveness and performance funding, you can't put a zero up on the board and then say, mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. And going forward, how much longer can these institutions continue with this budget situation? Can it go another year for them? What happens?
Well, clearly, I don't think so. You've already heard a couple of my public colleagues or institutions mention that they may not make payroll. I believe Chicago State is coming up on that within the next week or two, Eastern, Western. And I would say for some of my institutions that serve a high degree of low-income students, it's going to be really damaging. And at the very least, think about the kind of student that's coming into higher ed right now, and if you just lop off the lowest income students, higher education is going to serve fundamentally a different market. Remember, the people that need it the most are those from the lower income quartile. So, again, just completely illogical what's going on right now.
Well, and I mean, one of my kind of concerns about this is, as we all heard in the governor's speech, and quite frankly, we hear it from all politicians, but particularly among the governor, the issue of how important education is. And so he wants even more money for elementary and secondary education. But then it's kind of like, okay, after that, you're on your own.
Right, and that's, again, back to if you want a competitive state, it doesn't make much sense. And I think also, I think the governor's been on record and that he wants more money to go into higher education.
Right.
That was one of his campaign issues that he ran on. So you can't, and that's great if we're going to put more into K-12 and create a better system there, all the better, but those students will be facing a brick wall when they turn 18, or we'll just simply drive them out of state.
Well, and you touched on some of the and what we know about the public universities, the fact that I think Eastern has been laying off about 200 people, and they're going under economies. And I got to figure, those schools like Eastern, Western are ones that are probably in more dire financial straits, Chicago State University as well. But as you said, these are kind of, for a large part, regional institutions. They're part of regional economies. And I know one of the things that's been talked about is, does every school have to offer a certain thing, or should these colleges and universities become more specialized in certain things? And I would kind of argue that having a broad course-based offering is kind of essential because they're located in these regions that help stimulate the economy.
Well, I think we'd argue that too. But remember, we're talking about the last, let's say, 18 months of higher ed budget here. If you go back about 12 or 13 years, you'll see a gradual decrease in funding. So over that, if you go back to about fiscal year 2002, 2003.
The Blagojevich years.
Right. You'll see a downward slope beginning then. And institutions, to the point of getting lean and not offering courses that aren't taken, we're there already. I mean, you're looking at essentially over that time period about $1 billion with a B being taken out of higher education. So not real shocking that tuition's gone up given kind of the exodus of state funding. And then this is the ultimate kind of negative cherry on top of the cake here when you go to zero. So it's pretty hard to argue that Illinois higher education is not efficient because we've been doing more with less, and in this case, less state funding.
I was going to ask about that, though, because the governor, one of the governor's arguments is that there is bloat in the system and that there are administrative costs that are way too high, and he's wanted to kind of rein those in. Obviously, this kind of a budget impasse is not like the ideal way to go about doing that, but is this situation causing universities to kind of trim some fat? Is it accomplishing that objective at all?
Well, I guess. I mean, if Eastern lays off 200 employees and furloughs the rest of their administrative staff for, you know, 30 days out of a fiscal year, and I think similar things coming at other institutions, yeah, I guess that's one way to trim the fat. I would argue you're kind of past the fat and kind of cutting into the bone at that point. And, you know, so again, just the strategy to have that discussion, if those things exist, seems to me totally counterproductive.
David, and truly what you said about, you know, the Blagojevich years, because I remember Blagojevich came into the Tribune editorial board after making a budget presentation, and I said, what happened to the old formula, which was whenever the state had new revenue, natural revenue growth, it was two-thirds to elementary and secondary education, and one-third went to higher education. And he didn't know what I was talking about. And we've seen, you know, that decline continue. Dave Treader, President, Federation of Independent Illinois Colleges and Universities, thank you very much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.